Bo Costa, also with us tonight. 45. Being ushered in by UFC CEO Dana White. Donald Trump is in the building, and the former president getting a standing ovation from the assembled masses here at UFC 302. Well, you had a sneaking suspicion that former President Trump would be in the building for UFC 302. He is a rabid mixed martial arts fan. I kind of feel like he's betting on these fights when he's not actually here.
Boy, the round of applause he's getting right now is pretty staggering. And you had to imagine that's what was going to happen. Thank you, sir.
If what happened at the UFC over the weekend is any indicator, Donald Trump has risen to a political height that is absolutely unprecedented. The backlash against the verdict is beyond anything we could have ever imagined. Wait until you see the fundraising totals over the course of the last 72 hours. They are literally unbelievable. Hey gang, it's me, Dr. Steve, your patron professor, here to help you stay sane in these insane times. So make sure to smack that bell and subscribe button. And gang, let's dive right in. Over the weekend, Donald J. Trump entered the arena for the UFC 302 event like no one else on the planet. As you can see, the standing ovation was thunderous, and it wasn't just the fans. The fighters were all in Trump's corner as well.
Sean Hazen!
Pretty cool for Sean Strickland to have a moment there with Donald Trump after a win by split decision. Scorecards all over the damn joint.
John.
President Trump, you're the man, bro. It is a damn travesty what they're doing to you. I'll be donating to you, my man. Let's get it done.
Let's get it done. Congratulations, sir.
Sean Strickland, ladies and gentlemen.
That was UFC champion Sean Strickland celebrating his win that night by taking a selfie with President Trump. And as you heard, he promised to be one of the tens of millions who are donating to President Trump's campaign. And the numbers from Trump's fundraising over the weekend are in, and they are utterly staggering. Here's Eric Trump. Remember, Eric's wife, Laura, is co-chair of the RNC. Here's Eric on the unprecedented Titanic fundraising total over the weekend.
So what have you seen in the way of money raising? I spoke with President Trump yesterday. He said it's nearly $200 million. That is astounding. Is that number correct? Where does that number come from?
Well, this might be a little inside information, but as I was leaving my house about 37 seconds ago, I asked my wife, what are we up to now? And she said, just in terms of small dollar, we're well over $70 million. This is $21 donations, $43 donations, right? Small dollar donations. If you add the large dollar donations to it, you're over $200 million, but you're over $70 million. And by the way, Maria, wow. 30% of those people have never been seen before by a political party, right? I mean, these are Americans who are pissed off. They're coming out of the woodwork, and they want to support a guy that they just believe is getting bamboozled by a system. And We saw it with impeachment one. We saw it with impeachment two. We see it where they weaponize every liberal DA and AG across the country with one intent, to take him down, to slander him, to ruin his reputation, to try and divide his family, to try and bankrupt him, to throw him in jail, to do whatever the hell they can do. And America sees through it. They know exactly what's going on.
$200 million. Not just to 200 million in 72 hours. We're getting information that 100 million of that is coming from the Israeli-American billionaire Miriam Adelson. She's the wife of the late casino magnate Sheldon Adelson. She is reportedly pledged $100 million to the Trump campaign in the days since his conviction. And she's the real deal. She and her late husband gave over $200 million to Republican causes back in 2020, and she appears poised to dole out the dough, as it were, again in 2024. And Adelson is but the latest of a number of billionaires who have announced they're all in with Trump. It's an amazing development here, gang. It appears we're seeing something, I don't know, of a civil war or so going on inside the billionaire class, where half of them seem to recognize that the world is going in a very, very different direction from Western liberal globalization, the kind that Soros wants. And they want to cash in on it by getting fully on board on the Trump train. Regardless of what the billionaires are doing, you heard Eric Trump. $70 million. Again, let that number hit you. $70 million of that $200 million haul over the weekend came from small donations. $10, $20, $30. 30% of which came from donors who had never before given to a political campaign. So almost half of that $200 million was raised by small donations, 30% of whom were first-time donors. The backlash this venomous verdict has unleashed is beyond comprehension. When all is said and done, Trump has raised more money in the last 72 hours than Biden has raised over the course of the entire campaign. Let that sink in. Trump has raised more in 72 hours than Biden has over the course of the entire campaign. And Eric's right about most people seething from this sham. We've got the first polls out. Wait until you see this. But first, gang, you've seen how much the UFC fighters love President Trump and how much he loves them. They're both fighting for faith, family, and freedom. But did you know that our camaraderie goes beyond just fighting against wokeness? We can actually get the same pain relief that the fighters in the UFC get. I kid you not. It's precisely because a fellow patriot and a good friend of this channel is the one who provides relief to that pain, and he's here to do the same for you. Now, we often think that as we age, aches and pains are normal, but they don't have to be. And that's where the groundbreaking medical scientist Clint Winters comes in. Clint's a world-renowned health expert who's unveiled a natural pain reliever that's taking the world by storm. It's called ConnoCB2. It's the 100% drug-free way to get full-body pain relief without dangerous meds, and it is the official pain reliever for the fighters in the UFC. So whatever you do, gang, click on that link below right now. Check out Clint's amazingly informative report on how ConnoCB2 is changing lives by providing safe and powerful relief at a fraction of the cost of pain pills. Click on that link below right now. We got the first polls out. Reuters survey found that a plurality, 48% of those polled, believe the verdict was nothing more than a political hit job. Only 44% claimed that it was legit. So we're seeing immediately out of the gate here a plurality of voters getting it. They're not being fooled by this in the least. And I think that number is only going to continue to climb the more Trump starts spending on ads, detailing just how many pundits and commentators on all the major networks and cable news outlets recognize what a sham this entire court case was. They've already put together an amazing ad. If you haven't seen it, check this out.
Thank you for joining us here today. Earlier this afternoon, Donald Trump was arraigned by a Manhattan grand jury on 34 felony counts.
This case is an abomination. You know, it's obviously political. 7 years to try to come up with this case. They're just wrong on the law.
The only crime that Donald Trump is being prosecuted for is the crime of running for president.
Political persecution at the highest level.
They've quite frankly given up on trying to beat him at the polls. Either going to steal it or stop it by law firm.
A Democrat prosecutor elected on a Get Trump platform.
What's going on here is a disgusting disgrace. It is war on Trump. It is war on the Republican Party. And it is a war on a republic.
This case is the weakest case I've seen in 60 years of teaching, practicing, and writing about criminal law.
I doubt the New York indictment would have been brought against a defendant whose name was not Donald Trump.
This judge, I mean, you don't need a prosecutor if you have a judge like this. This judge is not on the level.
It's a terrible case, but the judge has been pretty much a rubber stamp on everything that Bragg has wanted to do.
They're perverting the system of justice. You know, that's where the danger lies, the corruption and subversion of our institutions by the left.
This is the Democrats' entire strategy, to confine President Trump to a dirty criminal courtroom and keep him off the campaign trail where he can bring his winning message to voters across this country.
New York has become a legal banana republic. They are so determined to get Donald Trump.
Look, convicting Donald Trump, that's all they have.
I think they have no cards. And they're depending upon Trump getting convicted.
That Trump train doesn't show any signs of slowing down.
The only verdict that matters is the verdict at the ballot box.
That was absolute fire. Whoever put that ad together, that was absolutely brilliant. It's ads like that that will only continue to draw more and more people over to our side who see this vindictive verdict as nothing more than banana republic politics of the worst and most heinous kind. Now, at the same time all of this is happening, there are now numerous reports that the Biden administration has basically given up on Georgia. They're not spending any more money there. They've conceded Georgia to Trump. Same with North Carolina. You're not going to see a lot of money being spent by the Biden campaign in either Georgia or North Carolina. So in terms of Georgia, that's one state down. Remember, there were three states that were responsible for Biden, quote, winning in 2020. Arizona, Georgia, and Wisconsin. Biden has just given up on one of them. He's given up on North Carolina as well, but North Carolina went with Trump in both 2016 and 2020, but with thinner margins. So there's nothing to suggest that Biden has any chance there. So the Biden campaign is reportedly sinking their money now almost entirely into Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Arizona, where he's losing. He's losing in virtually all those states, and some by a pretty hefty margin at this point, if we're talking about Arizona. And depending on the poll you're looking at, Michigan, even Pennsylvania, he's up by an average of 3. Trump, that is. And there seems to be a very real backlash dynamic at play here. Newt Gingrich was close to the mark by identifying this dynamic. He's arguing that while the verdict certainly is feeding the left and their impulse to take down Trump, they're all gleeful over it, it's inadvertently uniting the right. It's feeding the left temporarily, but uniting the right permanently. And his argument is basically that while this verdict gave the left, you know, a quick fix of what it wanted, it's backfiring because it's uniting the right like never before. And he's right on that latter part. It is uniting the right. We talked on Friday's live stream about how center-right moderates like Megyn Kelly or John Yoo of Berkeley University or Jim Garrity of National Review, how they're all like, that's it. That's it. There's no going back now. We have to have retribution. The Republicans now have no choice but to go over Democrats with the same ruthless lawfare that the Democrats have unleashed on Trump. There's no question that that verdict united the right. But we have to remember that that verdict didn't just feed the left. It fed a portion of the left, the progressive left, a number of center leftists like RFK Jr., Sean McGuire. Sean's a Silicon Valley millionaire, voted for Hillary in 2016. They came out steadfastly opposed to this verdict. In fact, McGuire donated $300,000 to Trump's campaign literally minutes after the verdict was announced on Thursday night. So I think we can refine what Gingrich is saying here. In typical woke fashion, this verdict, yes, is uniting the right, but at the same time, it's actually splitting the left. This is a pattern we talk about all the time on this channel. Wokeness always has the effect of splitting the left while uniting the right. So you take any woke issue from CRT in the classrooms to transgender athletes competing in women's sports, any woke issue, it always ends up having the effect of splitting the left. So half the left is all for it, right? But the other half of the left, like Bill Maher's side of the left, Piers Morgan's side of the left, they despise it. They don't want anything to do with it. Woke issues always end up splitting the left. So we're seeing it, of course, now with the whole campus unrest and the civil war between pro-Palestinian progressives on the one side and pro-Israeli liberals on the other. Woke issues inevitably split the left, but they at the same time end up uniting the right and increasingly uniting independent voters with the right, in that independents often find woke issues to be just as odious as we do. Heck, they find it to be just as odious as half the left does. So this is what this verdict ultimately did. The reason why there's so much backlash to it in the end is just another example of wokeness and how most people find wokeness absurdly insufferable. And if these dynamics continue, we may look back on May 30th as the day President Trump's second term actually began. Here's your opportunity to tell big tech tyrants where they can stick it. Click on that link below and download our brand new cancel-proof Turley Talks app, and you can sign our special Declaration of Restoration. That's our petition to big tech that declares a new day is dawn. They are no longer in control, and we are taking our nation back. We've already got over 1,000 signatures of courageous patriots, and yours is next. Click on that link below or go to fight.turleytalks.com right now.